It's the Shipping Container talking to you on a Tuesday. Greg Cody's here. Billy's here. Tony and Roy, I believe, will be here very shortly. Now, Greg, we have a lot of catching up. We need to catch you up on what went on yesterday. Yesterday's episode was called Doors.
Was it really?
No, but it should have been because that was the best part of the show yesterday. So yesterday we figured out that it's kind of like a class system, the amount of doors you have in your house. You know, apparently, Billy, what were the results that you got back yesterday?
Okay, so what happened yesterday was we were doing, you know, the typical local hour, and, you know, it was admittedly, we were kind of meandering, kind of looking for things to talk about. And then at one point, like, Roy wasn't, not to call out Roy, but he wasn't really giving us very much yesterday, and he didn't want to play. We created two segments for Roy, Greg. You were here for one of them, I think, which was Small Talk with Roy, right? And that went as about as well as it always does when we were playing Small Talk with Roy. We're asking questions like, how was your weekend? He said, fine. We said, what'd you do? He said, nothing. I was like, you just sat at your computer the whole weekend? Like, you haven't moved? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I guess that's that. Roy doesn't seem to want to help us on this one. So then we tried to play this new segment that Chris came up with, I think, last week called This Is Awesome with Roy Bellamy. And Roy essentially lists for us three things that are awesome, right? Simple enough. The first edition, he told us that his daughter was awesome. And I don't remember what the other two were because it's kind of like pulling teeth. So we were trying to do This Is Awesome with Roy yesterday, and nothing was awesome yesterday. So then I just noticed in the background that he seemed to have this door in like the living room or something. I don't know what room it is that he's sitting in his house, but there was just this door in the background. So I just asked him, Roy, how many doors do you have in your house?
Yeah.
And then I jokingly said, I want to know how many doors everybody listening has in their house. Just tweet me at Billy Gill with the number and then hashtag doors. And I often do stupid things like this that go nowhere. So I assumed that this would be one of these. But a lot of people started tweeting at me how many doors they had in their house. And I, at first I was like, you know what? I'm going to retweet all of them. And then I remembered that I had done something like that once in the past, and it lost a lot of followers from me, right? So I wrote down how many followers I had when I retweeted the first one, because my plan was to retweet all of them. And then I realized I can't possibly retweet all of these because I will lose like all of my followers. And I think overall, with the people that were leaving and rejoining, because I retweeted a lot of them, right? And people would ask me questions like, you know, does a garage door count as a door? Does, you know, someone asked me if the door on their laser jet printer counts as a door in their house, which I didn't answer, but no, that does not count as one of the doors in your house. A laser jet printer door does not count as a door in your house. I think overall, I may have lost two followers with all of that, which is a huge win, but I also bailed on the whole retweeting things all day long. So, Craig, this is where we're at, because we have a couple questions with doors, all right? So the closet doors behind you,
right,
that I see in your shot right now, Greg, would you count those as one door or two doors? Because they open up in the middle outwards.
Right. Yeah, I think those are two doors because they have two little knobs.
All right. So these are things I'm going to give you two.
I want to go out on the record and say that I think any closet can just have one door. I don't care if it's like the accordion shut, like two doors. Well, to me, one closet, one door, but it's your game, Billy.
You've been overruled by your father. So Greg says that's two doors. Now, just to catch you up again, and this is one of the stupidest topics that we've ever done, but just so that we're all on the same page. So you have now ruled that closet doors that open out like that with two individual doors count as two doors. Now, things that do not count as doors in your house. Your refrigerator and freezer door do not count as doors in your house. Okay. That's not what we're playing. Cabinets are not counting as doors in your house. We're not counting those either. We're just counting doors that either let you in or out of a room or in and out of a closet in this situation.
Interesting. Okay.
No cabinets, no printer, no desk jet printers, no the top of my washer is the door to my washer, none of that. That doesn't count. Garage door counts because it lets you in and out of your garage.
I have a question. Greg I actually have a door upstairs into my attic. So that is clearly a door. Greg has in his garage a door kind of like in the roof that leads to his attic. Is that a door?
I would say no. That's more of like a piece of wood that just blocks you from getting into your attic. You have a door that goes into your attic?
Yeah, in my second floor. I do.
Yeah, and I can enter in and out of there, so why wouldn't that be a door?
You know what, Greg? Sure. We'll count that as a door because that's really, what are we arguing over here? An addition of one, really. So you want to count that as a door? Go right ahead. So now we've wasted 2 days talking right. about doors in your house, which is really remarkably stupid.
So some big things we have going for today's show.
Yeah.
Greg is going to let us know how many doors he has in his house. And I have an owl update.
I was going to thank you. I'm glad you remember that because I wrote that down on my notes for today was we need to get an update on Al. Greg, do you know who Al is?
Al?
Yeah,
Al. He's the shuttle guy at Mom's law firm. He's the guy that takes people in a circle from Mom's office to the courthouse. So he's a guy when I used to work there that I got to know.
Yeah, I have not had the pleasure of meeting Al.
Chris admitted to us yesterday, he said that he was the office manager before in his previous job at a law firm, and that when things were going slow, sometimes he'd have to go make deliveries at the courthouse or pick things up at the courthouse or just kind of, you know, run some errands, and that there was this shuttle driven by a, I want to say lovely man, I've never met him, yeah, but a lovely man named Al, and Chris would, you know, at times have, you know, chats with Al, that he and Al were friendly. And that it was kind of similar to small talk with Roy. And he even told us, because I asked him, like, well, sometimes since you like talking to Al, did you just kind of ride around the loop with Al multiple times and take, you know, a little break from work just to keep talking to Al? He said Al's a little long-winded sometimes, and one loop was more than enough with Al. But he hasn't worked in that field for a number of years now. Yeah. And we asked him what Al was up to now, and he didn't know what Al was up to. So we wanted to find out what was going on with Al. And, you know, if Al, because he said that at the time, Al was in his late 60s. So we figured he must be mid to late 70s now. So we were curious as to what's happened with Al. And we'll get an update on that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm concerned for Al.
So not now? You don't want the update now?
No. We need to increase some TSL here. We got to build up to it. We'll tease it. We'll come back. Maybe second segment, we'll find out what's going on with Al. Greg, lots of sports going on in Miami right now. I don't know why I'm doing this, but lots of sports going on in Miami right now. The Inter-Miami CF, right? That's what they're called, are now 0-5. The Marlins are about to start their season. The Heat will be starting their season shortly after the Marlins. Give me the pulse of the South Florida sports fan right now.
Wow, my finger's on the pulse.
I love pulses. Love pulses.
Yeah. No, I do too. Yeah.
That's what keeps us living.
Yeah.
You know, people obviously everywhere are thrilled that sports is back, even without fans. You know, it's still going to be on TV and we'll hear fake noise so we can pretend it's sports. I honestly think in Miami, and, you know, you just mentioned – Inter Miami MLS team is 0-5.
I feel like Debbie Downer's coming right now. I'm just predicting it. I feel like I sense your tone. Keep going.
No, this surprised me that 0-5 is the worst start for any expansion team. Having said that, I wrote a column fairly recently on the Upbeat saying that when it comes to all five of our pro teams down here, I think things are looking up. And if I were an Inter Miami fan, I would not be dissuaded by an 0-5 start. All five of the losses have been by one goal. They've been competitive. They need more players. They need better players, frankly. But they're on the upswing. I trust what David Beckham is building. And I think you can make an argument that the Panthers, the Heat, the Marlins, the Dolphins, everybody is on the upswing down here. I think happy days are here again. I really do. People accuse me of being a pessimist. So.
I mean, do people accuse you of that? In soccer, you can play a one-goal game and not really be in the game. Like, yes, the scores have all been one-goal games, but they have not, like, there's been not one game that you feel like they're, like, winning this game.
A lot of them have been late goals, though, that have cost them games,
yes,
haven't they?
That's my point. And, like, even in those games, so it's tied up to that point, they have not been looking great. Like, they have just looked like a team out on the field. You haven't seen really flashes of anything. And I'm saying it's only five games, so I'm not saying that they won't get better. I'm just saying, I don't think there's much positive to take away from this start.
Wow. Well, Chris Cody has ranked this whole experiment an F so far.
Years just saying, so far.
Chris has given it an F and thinks that they should cancel the team.
No.
Sorry, your thoughts, Greg.
I've watched all five matches, and I actually thought the last one, the one goal loss to New York City, was the worst because it was a weak opponent, and I didn't like their effort. But in all the other matches, I thought they played pretty well. The Rodolfo Pizarro is a star in the making.
Yeah, but he's not really been great so far. He hasn't been good.
I think he scored three goals in five games, which is pretty good. But he needs help. You know, the thing about this is that expectations were high. In recent years, we've seen a couple of MLS expansion teams, including Atlanta a couple of years ago, who really just hit with a splash and did well right away. And we were expecting that. And Inter Miami raised the bar on itself when they were talking about all the star power they were bringing in and stuff. And, you know, the perfume of David Beckham. So we expected more. But I said, not to promote my own podcast, but when we were talking with Ray Hudson on our first or second podcast, you know, he was raving about this roster they'd put together. And I said, this looks like a pedestrian roster to me. This looks like a team that's going to struggle in its first year. And I was proved prophetic. But I think the future is bright for MLS down here. I really do.
What's the name of that podcast, just incidentally?
Thanks, Billy. It's called The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. And new episode 21 is out right now. Subscribe, rate, and review, and all that stuff.
What does episode 21 have in store for the listeners, Greg?
Well, you know, we celebrate opening week in baseball. We talked to Miguel Rojas of the Marlins, team captain.
They also celebrate the 21st episode. Greg, the Greg Cody Show is big into celebrating episodes.
You know what? I'm all for that, Greg, because live every day like it's your last, right? You never know when it's going to be your last podcast episode. You never knew at the time when it was going to be the last time you're playing in the street with your neighbors and you never saw them again. So why not celebrate every podcast like it's your last?
That's a very good point, Billy. I love that perspective by you. You know, you only turn 21 once.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You next time it's 22, you know, and what's in store there. But no, Miguel Rojas joins us. We have a fun David Beckham story. My wife joins us to complain about me. So wow. it's a fun podcast.
I think the highlight of the episode is what my dad admits to doing in the pool. Can we spoil this, Greg, for the people? I think we should. I want to get Billy's take on whether he does this or not.
Sure, we can do that because there's so much more waiting for you in the podcast.
Right. Okay. So my dad admitted, and my mom was making fun of him for... He sometimes, especially during quarantine, he's admitted that he takes slightly less showers per week than he did before because he doesn't leave the house as much. And he says that he has been supplementing not taking showers by hopping in the pool and occasionally, literally in the pool, shampooing his hair.
Ooh.
What are your thoughts on that? Have you ever heard of anybody doing that method of cleaning their hair?
That's a first for me, I think. I've heard of people, you know, hopping in lakes and shampooing in lakes, bathing in lakes. I think Nick Saban has done that, right? I think he said that he's hopped into the lake behind his lake house.
Does he actually use shampoo, though?
Yeah, I think so. Now, I don't know, Greg, one, if that's a true story, and two, I don't know that the chlorine is a good combination for washing your hair. That, I would say, is probably not the best. I think if you're in there and part of the reason that you like bathe or like hose off or like go through like the shower after you get out of the pool is to wash the chlorine off. So right. I think if you're like clean and you're then hopping in the pool with chlorine, bring the soap in and kind of the shampoo and cleaning yourself in the chlorine and then being clean and back in the chlorine and getting out of it. I don't know that that's really accomplishing what you're striving for. But you know what? Hey, just to try to put a positive spin on this again, people didn't think that the world was round at one point, right? And they thought that the people saying the world was round was crazy. So who knows? Right. Maybe this is the wave of the future, hopping in chlorinated pools and shampooing that way.
Yeah, and it is a true story. I've done it less than a week ago. I washed my hair in the pool. It's luxurious. By the way, I put that question on Twitter. Mm. I asked, is it okay to shampoo your hair in your own pool.
I saw that the results weren't going well for you last night at some point.
No, but it could be worse. You know, I'm losing by like 87%. So
yeah, but yeah.
So 13% agree with you, Tony. Have you ever washed your hair in the pool or heard of anyone washing their hair literally using shampoo in the pool?
No, never. The first time I even thought of the notion was when I saw Greg's tweet saying, would you wash your hair in the pool? And I was like, wow, I've never really actually thought of that. I know that pools and soap and those kind of things don't really mix well because I used to live right outside of this big community, and Billy will probably know it as Lakes of the Meadows, down on like 152nd. So they have this huge like entrance, right? Mm-hmm. And in the entrance, there's maybe like a 20-foot like waiting pool that has cascading waterfalls into it. One jokester one time
yes. oh,
took an entire box of Tide, because I saw him do it, an entire box of powder Tide, put it into the pool, and the thing turned into like a bubble, like it was a bubble party almost. The foam was so high, it was almost higher than the 6-foot wall that holds up the waterfalls crashing in. So I figure with the running water and the soap, it wouldn't be really good for your pool. That's just my thought.
Yeah, but it's a big pool, and I'm one little head of shampoo. You know, it's a minuscule thing. And I want to differentiate. I want to express explicitly, if I'm in somebody else's pool, I'm not bringing a bottle of shampoo. This is in my own backyard.
Yeah,
I have a 6-foot fence around my backyard. It's very private. Nobody's watching me.
Are you nude?
I was going to say,
Why do you need this much privacy?
You know, that's a good question. When I had this wall built, I didn't think that I was walling myself off as much as I am.
Yeah.
It's almost like regrettable in a way, because I sort of miss like being able to wave at my neighbor.
Right. For the people that don't know, my dad used to have a chain link fence around his entire perimeter. So he could kind of see his back neighbor, a side street over here. But now he put up, what is it? It's not wood, but it looks wood. It's like some panel, some modern style.
It's PVC. It's a PVC fence, but it's wood.
It looks like a wood. But it's tall, and there's just no, like, there's no cracks even. Like, it's just a wall.
The man needs some privacy.
He's
a big star, almost 100,000 followers on Twitter. You can't just have any Tom, Dick, and Harry getting to him. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Watching you shampoo your hair in the pool, it's impossible. Right. You should
exactly.
have, instead of 6 feet, you should have done 8 feet.
Wow.
That way nobody can look over.
I'd never considered this before, but if I still had the chain link fence and much, much, much less privacy, I wonder if I would wash my hair in the pool. That's a factor that I hadn't considered.
Who paid for that wall? No, I'm just kidding. What did you I had somewhere to go with that.
What does that mean? Like, you did?
Yeah, did you pay for the wall? I'm confused here. I don't understand why they're giving you grief, Greg, because you're saying, you know, let me be clear that I don't go to other people's pools and shampoo my hair, as if, you know, it's not like you go to someone else's house and you just hop in their shower and start shampooing. What a man wants to do in his pool is his business, or woman, you know.
I agree with you. Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's a freedom issue, really. I mean, it's my pool. It's my shampoo. It's my water. It's my head. You know, who else is making a decision here?
There you go. When we come back, we're going to find out what happened to Al.
Oh, no.
And we're back. Roy, before we get to my Al update, have you ever heard of or done yourself washed your hair with shampoo in a pool?
No.
Shocking that you wouldn't admit something vulnerable for us.
Well, I've never done it. So I don't understand what you're saying.
How often do you guys shampoo your hair? Because I do it way too much.
Yeah, we've had this conversation. You say that you're almost an every time person. I'm shampooing my hair, I'd say, twice a week. And I take like five or six showers a week. So like twice a week I'm shampooing. I don't shower. Aunt Tony, unless like if I'm at home during quarantine, like 6 showers a week. That's it. Okay, sorry that I don't shower every day.
You're taking the day off.
That's basically every day.
Wasn't it Greg that said that not taking a shower during the quarantine is almost like a vacation? Greg, was that you?
Oh, yeah. Totally. You know, and I feel the same about shaving. You know, I no longer feel the need to. I shave like twice a week. You know, I don't care if I have 3 days growth. Who's looking at me other than my wife? And, you know, it's not that she doesn't matter, but you get me.
Right.
All right. You guys want this Al update?
I don't know.
Okay. So
Roy's not sure.
We set it up before Tony and Roy, you got here. So the audience is aware of what we talked about yesterday. So here's the update. Al is no longer working for the firm.
Oh, so that's too bad.
I have no evidence whether or not he's still alive.
Was he poached?
The quarantine got him. The pandemic got him. When everything shut down in March, the courthouse shut down for a little bit. So, you know, you can't be paying a guy to drive in circles if nobody's at the office and nobody's at the courthouse. So Al had been, I don't think he was even furloughed. I think he was let go back in April or March. Wow. And he has not been picked back up yet. Maybe, hopefully, months from now when we get back to normal, hopefully, maybe he'll get his job back. But for right now,
he is still with us because it was just a couple of months ago. So I'm just going to assume he's still with us, but he is no longer driving, and it's a sad day.
And we were talking about it, Chris. We were making sure that obviously a good friend of yours, Al, do you know his last name?
I don't.
Okay, so not as good of a friend.
You're on a first name basis.
Actually, oh, okay.
I think I have his number in my phone.
Ooh.
Whoa.
I'm not going to call him right now. That would be rude, but.
Well, let's just see. Maybe we can plant the seed for maybe another episode this week. We talk to Al.
I would bring Al on because that would be amazing. I don't have his number anymore in this phone. My brother probably has his number, but wow. I got to check on that. I will try to get in touch with Al and see if he will join us at some point. Maybe I'll record something with him.
All right. I look forward to that.
Greg, do you want to go right now and count the doors in your house while
sure. Yeah.
We'll fill some time. You come back.
Yeah, we're gonna play This Is Awesome with Roy in the meantime.
Billy, how many doors did you count at your house? Because obviously you and me have the least amount of doors.
Yeah, so well Greg ruled earlier that the closet doors that open out count as two doors. So I think
I have to add almost even I had 18. And then my wife found two more that I had forgotten about. And I didn't count my closet doors, which have the two door open system as I counted those as one. So I can add two more doors to my total. So I believe I'm out at 22.
Exactly what I told you yesterday.
I'm just saying, I don't believe in that rule. I think every closet should just be one door. But since we're going with the rule that it's two, I have 22 doors.
If 22. If we do the doors that open out, I'm at eight doors.
Me too. I'm at eight doors too.
Yeah.
You guys have what, one bedrooms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
One bed, one bath. The closet opens up, the side, you know, the back door and the back
door. I don't even have a back door. I just have like when you walk in, there's a bunch of little closets for some reason. I don't know. Some of them are locked. I wonder what the
landlord, the air conditioning thing is in there.
Well, so, I have that. I have access to that because they want me to change the filter every month, which is a bit excessive, but I do it because I don't want to lose my security deposit. But then there's a closet that's locked and I wonder what's in there. Never checked.
So what were the high and lows of numbers you received?
People are liars. I mean, you can't trust any of it. The lows that I saw was one, which I don't believe because like a studio, you'd have a bathroom door, you would think, right?
Or so, a closet.
I would say four is probably the realistic low that we got. And the high is somewhere, I think, like in the 36 range.
Wow. I thought it was 37. Yeah.
Well, maybe. But again, some of these numbers, I don't like. Someone said they have 69 doors, and I think they're pulling my leg, so I'm not reporting that one.
Nice.
That one doesn't seem legit. But 37, I mean, I guess if you have like
42 doors, it doesn't, like, these people are counting cabinets, or they're just lying to me. So,
Greg, do you have an update for us? Should we tease this update just to keep people around a little longer?
I do have a door count whenever you need it.
Oh, you know what? Coming up next, we will find out. Don't go anywhere because this is big. How many doors Greg Cody has in his house?
I just went somewhere.
I think I'm just going to start calling Roy Tony Allen because his defense is just on point. It's without effort. It's smooth. He plays help defense. He doesn't just play the guy he's guarding. He's a good he's a good stretch three, stretch four.
Stretch three.
Daddy.
Yeah.
You would call him more of a swing man. That's what Tony Allen would be called, a swing man.
All right, Greg. How many doors do you have in your house?
I think people hate this topic, by the way.
Based off of the responses you got yesterday, maybe everybody that didn't tweet you the number hates it. So I guess more people hate it than don't. But hey, we're here.
Oh. I have 24 doors.
Wow.
Wow.
I only have. Are you sure?
But that does include my two attic doors. Otherwise, I have 22 doors.
Interesting. Wow. Maybe this topic is bad because I couldn't be less interested in that.
I was thinking of a way to elaborate on that, but there really was none.
Doors, huh?
Let's talk about Jim Morrison while we're talking about the doors.
Rest in peace. Should I say rest in peace or God rest his soul, Greg, since we're talking to him in a positive light, you know?
Well, let's not get too religious. Let's just go rest in peace.
Okay. You know, because I know you're a big person of God rest his soul if you're going to say something negative about them. I feel like that's where it's gone.
Would you guys rather rest in peace or rest in power?
Hmm.
I'm a wrestling power type of guy myself.
I feel like once I'm gone, just leave me alone. Give me some peace and quiet, you know?
Yeah, I'm with that.
Greg?
It sort of goes without saying that you're resting at that point, right? You don't, I mean, when you're gone, you're gone. You don't really need somebody to, you know, wish that you were resting, because it sort of goes without saying in my mind.
Are you guys big on going to, like, visit – this is going to take a dark turn. Are you guys big on going to visit, like, cemetery plots and leaving – like, not of strangers, obviously, of, like, your loved ones, not just, like, it's a Saturday, let me go to a random cemetery?
I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, we – my mom's mom, we used to go visit on Mother's Day. But outside of that, we haven't done a lot of grave visiting over the years.
Mm. I love cemeteries.
He does. He actually does. This is a true story.
I just, you know, I don't love visiting loved ones. I love visiting strangers. You know, when we're on vacation, Christopher will tell you this, when we're on vacation, I make it a point to go to the local famous cemetery. You know, you're in Boston and you go to their famous cemetery, and all of a sudden, hey, look, there's John Adams, you know, the second president of the United States, right over there. His bones are underneath this plot of land. And that's pretty cool to me. I find it enchanting, eerie, peaceful.
Now, do you go to cemeteries just where, you know, there are noted people resting, or do you just like going to cemeteries?
I like going to cemeteries. I like reading gravestones. You know how, and one thing you notice is that how short lives used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go to an old cemetery, it's very common to see somebody. Wow, they were born in 1878 and they died in 1904. I mean, come on, have a little longevity here. Come on.
Well, not just that, but they probably didn't even have one episode of a podcast, much less 21. So that's why you have to celebrate every episode of a podcast, even if it's the 21st.
I tell you, man, you were spot on, Billy.
Guys, I don't want to get too deep into the conspiracy rabbit hole here, but I've always had this thought. I've been to those, you know, graveyards in Boston. I've been to the famous one in Washington, D.C. that's escaping my memory right now.
Arlington,
yes. Arlington National Cemetery. So I've been to these different places where supposedly famous people are buried. I've got a feeling they're not really buried down there. Wow. Okay, listen, hear me out here. John Adams, right, in some small little cemetery in Boston. Do you mean to tell me that his bones are actually down there if I dig 6 feet deep, knowing that the plot is like this big and then the next gravestone is like 4 feet next to it? It's like there's not enough space mathematically to have a casket or have bones in there, I think. And I had this thought too. Tell me if I'm going off the rails here. The Kennedy Memorial. I don't know if Kennedy's bones are in there. Okay, I think it's a little plot. I think there's a little stone in there with a little fire, but I think all their bones are somewhere inside of a building in the Capitol. I don't think any of the bones are actually where they are. I think they might be somewhere else.
Proud of you for this take, Tony.
Hold on. Well, why does the Capitol just have a collection of bones?
Because, and this is important, grave diggers, grave robbers, can go in and get anybody at any certain time, especially back in the day, right? When there was less advanced security, you would have some guy sleeping there with a musket.
Yeah.
Grave robbers would walk right by him, dig out the bones and exhume him and take him somewhere else and prop him up like Weekend at Bernie's. So what the government did was they took all the former presidents and notable people, and they have them almost like in a crypt in an underground like burial room, okay, where all you can see all the presidents almost in line of their bones.
Where do you think the line is in terms of who this secret society of governmental grave diggers, where do you think the line is in terms of, like, are we doing it for like secretaries of state, or what are we doing? Just presidents and vice presidents, maybe famous generals, like where's the line on
I think like secret? A lot of Ben Franklin kind of guys, you know, Alexander Hamilton kind of guys, founding fathers.
If you sign the declaration, your bones are secretly underneath
at least a couple
Capitol
of them.
Crypt.
Yes. At least a couple of them.
Just some.
Not the whole thing, because, you know, it's a long time. Things can happen.
It takes a lot of space.
But for sure, Kennedy's not there.
To Tony's point, it would benefit. Like, if the owner of a cemetery, I want big names at my cemetery. If you tell me that I could have a John Adams, like if I'm in Boston. And like that gets people.
You've now started a black market of people buying
No, I'm just saying
famous people's bones.
It benefits the cemetery to say you have some big names here. Like if I'm the owner of a cemetery, I want someday LeBron James to be buried in my cemetery. Like,
you right, know what but I mean? Do you want him to actually be buried there or just be buried there in name?
Right, that's the point. My point is that it's okay if it's just the name. I just need the stone there. Whether he's actually underneath this is irrelevant to me as the,
If you're going to commit fraud, all you have to do is order a headstone. You don't need to go through that whole process of trying to buy like someone's pinky bone or something. You know, you just put a headstone. Greg, when you visit these cemeteries again, we've gone way off the deep end today. When you visit these cemeteries, do you look to see like this is what I would want in my final resting place or not so much?
Not so much, oddly enough. And you'd think I would, you know, as a man who's a little older, you'd think.
Do you already have a plot? Sorry if that's too
personal. No, I don't.
Let the kids figure that out.
You know what? They'll slide me into a 1600 degree oven and we'll call it a day. You know what?
All right. I have noticed that it seems like when you go to these older cemeteries that they seem more intricate, I'd say, like the designs of the stones, they're more, you know, prominent, elaborate, where now, you know, you go to like wherever, I don't even know the names of cemeteries down here, because Caballero Rivera are the funeral homes, not the
Woodlawn.
Cemeteries. Yeah.
Woodlawn.
But you go to the cemeteries and it's pretty much just, you know, like the stone on the floor, and you'll have like a little, you know, it's carved into it, or I guess not carved into it, it's, what is it called? You don't carve stone, you kind of...
Chiseled?
Chiseled it. Into it. Yeah. Hey, Chris. Just Hello. Talking about your dad when he dies, what he'd like his situation to be like. He said just kind of cremate him and you guys can figure it out. Would you want your ashes spread out somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't given that much of a thought, to be honest with you. I probably should, but...
You're a big salt life guy, right?
Yeah, you are a big salt guy. Maybe we take you out in the ocean? Sea. Yeah.
Honestly, something like that seems a lot... there's something creepy about like an urn with just ashes, just like forever.
No, well,
like,
we're gonna spread Greg's ashes at his favorite dive spot.
No, I know, and I'm down for that. I'm
fishing
saying,
spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the whole like meet the Fockers thing, where like the cat knocks over the thing. Like
that's actually Meet the Parents.
Whatever,
the original one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, urns are weird. Let's agree on that.
So the reason why we brought up this conversation, Chris, obviously asking if you go to visit your relatives or it was Billy or whomever, I've never gone to do that because the people that have passed away in my family have all been cremated and we all have urns of them at my grandma's house. And it's like, I don't know. I didn't really think twice about it.
But like, be normal. But you don't have those at your house that you're looking at all the time. Like you.
No, I don't have them.
Yeah, here. Right. No. They can exist, but they don't need to be in my sight every day.
Right, out of sight, out of mind.
Really. I read something that surprised me, which is human ashes weigh a lot more than you think they do.
Ashes.
Like you think of ashes as being lightweight, right? Like almost non-existent, but an adult human body is like 6 pounds of ashes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a pleasant thought.
It really is.
I think it's a good note to end on. Do you have anything else you'd like to say before this Tuesday local hour ends?
Well, you know, I mean, the Greg Cody Show's podcast episode 21. Go for it. Eat it up, baby.
You think anyone's ever put their ashes like in a bowling ball so that they're like they were a big
inside
bowler or something? Yeah, like you have a bowling ball made and there's like little specks of someone like a famous bowler, like a bowling family member. I love bowling for whatever reason. Instead of like spreading my ashes, they made a ball with like a little couple specks in there.
That's an excellent idea. I think you should patent that, really. You know, because I could be bowling and, you know, I'm rolling a strike with the remains of Earl Anthony in my ball.
Or you could be bowling with your dad forever or with JFK's stolen bones.
Well,
there you go.
Now, that's another podcast.
What I'm about to suggest is kind of a weird thing, but Billy's opened this portal with the bowling ball thing. What if I, like, can you take these ashes and, like, sculpt them into something?
What?
Like, add some liquid to it so it becomes, like...
Like, make a sandcastle?
Like, essentially. But, like, maybe, like, their face or something. Like, you know, like... I'm just, there's no bad ideas here. Billy mentioned this bowling ball.
I got to be honest with you. I thought the bowling idea was a really bad idea, but I went for it. And then now we're making sandcastles out of dead people. I feel like we've taken this way too far.
But you see the difference when Billy says something. His was equally ridiculous, but he got feedback and people. But then when Chris says something.
No one said anything.
Ah, no. We gave like, oh, that'd be interesting. And then you could bowl always with like your dad. Like we threw out all those lines that were supporting you. And then Chris says something ridiculous, and I just get blank stares. Like, what an idiot this guy is!
Are you mad? You're mad at me.
I'm just not listening to you.
Here's what you could do: you could take someone's ashes and put it in a mold in the shape of them, and so you know, in the shape of their silhouette. So all of a sudden, you are reanimating someone with their own ashes.
That's such a good idea, Greg. You can form ashes out of someone's ashes into something. Wow, what a good idea, Greg.
Thank you.
Didn't I just suggest that?
It's like a jello mold, but for human ashes.